Thursday morning at about 3 o'clock in the morning, I awoke with a little too much enthusiasm in my heart, primarily because I had dreamed I was in a full court press basketball game. and I was in the middle of it, and I woke up and my heart's pounding and my pores are sweating, and it's hard to get back to sleep when your heart's pounding like that. And even worse is when you put your head on your pillow and you hear your head pulsing, and because your heart's pounding so fast. I'm starting to get used to that a little bit, but that was Thursday morning. So as I'm laying there, 3 o'clock in the morning, don't really want to. I know this is, Frank, you're just telling me get ready, right, Pastor? It's part of life, the rest of your life, right? I was laying there and trying to get my brain calmed down again, and so that verse we had looked at, Psalms, many Wednesday nights ago, I think it was Psalm 92:19, I think it is, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. As I was laying there in bed trying to get my head calmed down again, this passage came to mind, and as I began meditating on it, a message began formulating, and finally my wife said, Phil, just stop tossing and turning. Go get out of bed and write that message down. So I dragged myself out of bed and actually did a whole long word study on the word comfort in the New Testament. And this message kind of birthed from that study. And so it came to me at a time not where I needed comfort from bereavement necessarily, but comfort to just calm me down a little bit. And so this morning's message, I hope, will be a comfort to you. We saw, and as you see our church verse for the year, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Always causeth us to triumph in Christ. That is just, that verse is in one chapter after our text this morning, and really comes at the end of the subject of needing comfort. Paul was in all kinds of trials and tests in chapters 1 and 2. And then he even talks about it a little more when he gets into chapters 3 and 4 and just how serious some of these pressures were. And yet he had found where the true source of comfort comes from. When God says, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, or as Paul wrote that, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, always has a rather wide range of promise. It's easy to say we triumph in Christ when things are going well, but what about in the midst of depression or despair or difficulties or surprises that come in life? Is there comfort available to us then? How about in the midst of fires and in the midst of trials, when you can't get up your driveway because your driveway is too iced over? What about when the tedious things in life come around? Can we triumph in Christ during such times as that? I try not to get real technical, and sometimes when people give definitions and etymologies of words, it can get kind of taxing on the mind. But the word comfort, our word, comes from a Latin word that means to brave together. To brave together. And that immediately made my mind run to the Greek word for comfort, to come alongside. The Holy Spirit's called the Comforter, the one who comes alongside of us to brave with us, to brave together with us the trials that God entrusts into our lives that make us stronger. And this morning, I want you to see that you can triumph through trials through the all-sufficient comfort provided by God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 3 through 11, but we're going to focus on verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our, here it's translated, consolation or comfort also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your comfort, your consolation, and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation, your comfort, and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the comfort, the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver. Ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Now there is a lot, obviously, in here, and we're only going to focus on verses 3 and 4, but how many times did you see that word comfort and consolation appearing over and over and over again? And that theme runs even through chapters 2. It even talks about the need to forgive the brother that they had had to discipline within the church for his immorality. And he said, okay, you've done the discipline part, but you went a little too far. You need to comfort him. There's a lot of the theme of comfort here in 2 Corinthians. But this morning, I want us to see how we are able to triumph in Christ through the comfort provided by God, all-sufficient comfort. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please open our eyes to your word this morning. Lord, help me to just deliver your message and obey your message in my own life. And I thank you for the comfort that you provide for us. Help us to triumph in Christ by receiving that comfort and not running to the faulty sources of comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. To know real comfort in your life, first you must run to God as the true source for your comfort. And that sounds about as elementary as we can get. But the reality is we're very good at running to counterfeit comforts. And this morning, I almost started waving my hand to stop Jeff in Sunday school class because he was stealing some of my illustrations. But we are very good at running to counterfeit comforts. Things that, to us in our minds, serve as band-aids that temporarily cushion the hurt or soften the pain a little bit or help us escape in our minds from the situations, but they don't fully take care of the problem. They don't bring lasting comfort. We're very good at running to those counterfeits. I am anyway. And yet we find at the end of verse 3 this beautiful, incredible revelation of our God. He's called the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. What do we try? What sources do we try? We talked about comfort foods in Sunday school class. Comfort foods, things we run to. Why? Because it immediately puts good taste in our mouths. And when we're in sour situations, sometimes having good taste in our mouths takes our mind off the problem, and we run to comfort foods. We run to fun. Fill our minds with pleasure and fun to take our minds off difficulties. But that's not lasting comfort. We run to Facebook, social media, because then we can tweet to the whole world who are all watching us and thinking of our situations. Not really, but in our minds we tend to think so. And so we can put on there all the deep emotions of that and put it out there for everybody to see so that everybody can think about poor little me. That's not lasting comfort. We can turn to sleep. Ignore our problems, tuck those covers over our heads a little bit more, and take a Benadryl and go to sleep. We can turn to drugs. We can turn to sports, hobbies. Some of these things have proper places in our lives. I'm not preaching against these things. Well, the drugs I am. But they may have proper place in our lives, and some may have healthy benefits, but they fail when it comes to being sources of true comfort. Yet quickly, they're the ones we most quickly turn to sometimes. They are failing sources of comfort. They cannot provide full, consistent, lasting comfort. So God says here, God reveals Himself to us as the God of all comfort. Folks, we were studying in Sunday school class this morning in Ephesians chapter 4 that need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And I'll emphasize this 3 weeks in a row now. We've got to renew our minds according to what the Scripture says, because God's word is truth. Our feelings and our lusts are deceitful. They lie to us. God does not. And so the loftiest, the greatest thing you can do for yourself is to correct your thinking about God and think on Him as He reveals Himself and love Him for it and claim it. And He says here, I am the God of all comfort. And if you don't believe that, you're calling God a liar. And you'll live as an agnostic, or you'll live no better than an atheist when you claim God is a liar. He is the God of all comfort. And so we want to find out, okay, then how do I know this comfort in my life? Well, I want to be very basic here in the beginning. First of all, how can we even get comfort from God? How do we get linked up with the God of all comfort? And I refer back to Romans 5:1 because this verse is precious to me. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want any access to God for any of the treasures of grace that He wants to pour into your life, then you first need to be born again by the Spirit of God. You've got to be part of His family. You've got to admit your sinfulness and call upon the name of the Lord and be saved from your sins. Then the Bible says you're brought into His family. You are made one of His children. When I was growing up, my mother was a great comfort to me. She still is. But she was a great comfort to me. I could run to her all the time when I was growing up. Anytime there was an issue in my life, I could run to her. Why? She was my mother. And what mother doesn't want to comfort a child that's in difficulty or going through something? Well, it's to a much greater sense, it's the same case with our God. When you're part of God's family, when you're a child of God, He wants to comfort His children. And He's the God of all comfort. That's your Father. That's your Father if you're saved. If you've been born again into the family of God. He's the source of comfort. You're His child if you've been born again by the Spirit. And so you have access through Christ to the God of all comfort. And that is why, once again, how do we triumph? We triumph in Christ. Christ is the one who makes it possible. Christ is the one who gives us access. Everything we have in the Christian life is because of Christ. We have direct access to the God of all comfort, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have His comfort because of our relationship through Jesus Christ. We have His comfort because of His Holy Spirit that He gave to us. Let's go back to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. This chapter begins right off with comfort for our hearts. The disciples are aware now that Jesus is going away. He's going to die. The disciples had forsaken everything. You remember when Jesus is walking along the shore of Galilee, this is after their initial call. This is their call to service. Jesus is walking along the shore of Galilee and he sees Peter and Andrew. And they're working for their father, and he says, "Follow me." And they forsook everything. They left everything behind. They left everything familiar to them. They left their family to follow this rabbi, to follow their teacher, to be instructed and trained by him. And as they followed him, they began to realize he was more than just the common rabbi of the day. He was working miracles that only God could do. He was doing only things that God could do. He was saying, "Peace, be still," and winds and waves were obeying Him. And they realize, this is the Son of God. And so now they're anticipating Him establishing His kingdom on earth, and the glorious prophecies of the Old Testament, that which the Jews longed for, the promises given way back to Abraham and even all the way back to Adam and Eve when the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. They thought it's all coming to pass right now. And Jesus says, "I'm going away. I'm going to die. I'm going away." And this shattered their entire belief system. This shattered their entire focus. This shattered their dreams. They had forsaken everything to follow Him, and now He's going away. And so Jesus begins with these words of comfort. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Great words of comfort. But listen to the comforting words in the meantime. Until He returns, where are His followers? Where are we to derive our comfort from? Look down to verse 16. Jesus says, okay, so I'm going away, but I'm going to come again someday. The disciples perhaps are tempted to ask, "Lord, what about in the meantime? What are we going to do? You're going to be gone." But Jesus says in verse 16, "And I will pray the Father, And he shall give you another comforter. What is so comforting? That he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Referring to the day of Pentecost. And when you became a Christian, the Spirit of Christ moved in. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And he gave us his Holy Spirit, who is called the Comforter. The God of all comfort. He gave us His Son to die on the cross for our sin and reconcile us, making us His children. And He gave us His Holy Spirit, the one who comes alongside us to dwell within us. He's the Comforter. He's the one who braves together our trials with us. In verse 18, I love this. I will not leave you comfortless. It's a different word there. It's the word, and you'll understand Greek, orphanos. I will not leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to leave you fatherless. I'm going to be with you. I love when the psalmist wrote, when my father, and I'm not quoting this perfectly, but when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Folks, we're never orphans here on earth when you're in Christ. Even if God were to remove every one of your church family from you or your earthly family from you, you are not alone. You have the God of all comfort. You have His Holy Spirit, the Comforter within you. And He says here that He will never leave you. He will dwell with you. He'll abide with you in verse 16 forever. That's great hope if we'll just take God at His word. Jump down to verse 26 in John 14. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. And so here we're promised the comfort of the Spirit's guiding ministry in our lives. We're never going to be left helpless saying, I don't know what to do. When our loved ones forsake us, when we lose them, we don't lose them if they're in heaven. They're with the Father, but we've been promised to be given the Spirit who will guide us into all truth, who will show us the way. And notice how, and this is where I'll end in John 14, verse 27. On the heels of having the Comforter, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. This is coming from the Prince of Peace, by the way. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You can have His comfort because His Holy Spirit is in you. Where are you getting your comfort from? From the God of all comfort? Or are you turning to temporary, failing sources of comfort? We looked at this next passage a few weeks ago, but it just keeps coming back to my mind as a great comfort to my soul. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. He gave us His Son to bring us into His family, so we have the God of all comfort as our Father, and we have access to Him through Christ at any time. He's given us His Holy Spirit to indwell within us. Now Romans 15:4, this great verse of comfort. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Comfort of the Scriptures. Here's where your relationship with the God of all comfort and His indwelling comforter, here's where all these come together so that God can pour His comfort into your heart. Let this verse enlarge your view of the Bible. Let this verse help you see why God's given you His Word. Don't limit it just to so that He can convict you of sin. Don't limit it to the imaginations of your own mind and limitations of your own mind. God says that His Word will comfort your heart. So pick up His Word and diligently study it, because you'll find it's the greatest comfort. When you have your quiet time with God each day, this is just one benefit you'll find as you mine the gold out of the Scriptures, is that that gold will bring you comfort, rich comfort in your heart and mind. Charles Spurgeon, who's been given the title Prince of Preachers and saw mighty works of God, that doesn't even begin to touch it. But Charles Spurgeon struggled often with severe depression. It's oftentimes overshadowed by the success that God used him in. And he ended up writing, I think it's in his book, My Lectures to My Students, he wrote in there that the man that God uses mightily publicly, He chastens privately in His closet. And Charles Spurgeon often struggled with severe depression, even at times having to leave England. Multiple times he had to leave England to go to France just to recuperate in his mind, just to recover. And on one such occasion of darkness, probably the darkest of all his seasons of depression, I think it was this one where he couldn't get out of bed for about 2 weeks. He was in such despair. This was after the big situation. They had rented a huge auditorium because the building they had been using couldn't hold everyone, and someone yelled out fire in the middle of the congregation, and that caused a stampede, and I believe 3 people were killed. There was no fire, but 3 people were killed, and Spurgeon took that on himself. And it put him into deep despair. And yet, he wrote that just one little phrase of Scripture shed a beam into his heart that pulled him out of that miry clay of despair. The phrase comes from Philippians chapter 2. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. That was it. That's all it took to lift Spurgeon out of the depths of despair. God has exalted Jesus Christ. And that phrase from Scripture brought him out. It comforted his soul. Folks, that's the power of the Word of God. And if you'll get in the Scriptures, if you'll run to the God of all comfort, and let the Comforter, who is the Spirit of truth, which means He uses the Word of God, if you'll run to the Scriptures, you'll find that God is the God of all comfort. And I can testify to the comfort of the Scriptures through the tests God has tried my faith of late with. Times when I didn't know if I'd make it. And God's Word beamed through, sometimes with just simple passages. I remember one day I was especially bombarded and struggling, spiritual warfare like I had never known it, and yet this phrase popped into my mind from Philippians 4. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. other verses that have been precious to me. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will comfort thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Whenever you sit, folks, under the ministry of the Word, you're placing yourself under the opportunity to be comforted by the Word as well. You're putting yourself in the place to hear the God of all comfort speak to you. God, the only true source of comfort, has given us His Spirit and His Word to comfort us. Where are you running to comfort? What's your primary source? Coffee? Candy bars? Comfort foods? Shut the world out and going on your computer, Facebook, your favorite television show, your sports. Where do you turn? A hobby? Work? Where do you turn for your comfort? He's the God of all comfort. He's given you access to Him if you're in Christ. He's given you access to Him. He's given you His Holy Spirit to dwell within you and guide you into all truth. He's given you His Word to comfort your souls. Time is up, so I'm going to save the rest of this message for the afternoon service. Not my desire, but my desire needs to be God's desire. So we're going to end here. But do you know your Father, your Heavenly Father, as the God of all comfort? Are you trusting in Him as your comfort? Have you trusted in Him as the one who's never going to leave you nor forsake you? The one who's going to be there for you through whatever comes your way? He's the God of all comfort. He's brought you into His family if you've been born again. And if you've not been born again, He wants to bring you into His family. He's given you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the one who comes alongside you to be with you through every trial. And He's given you everything you need right here in His Word. Comfort your soul through every circumstance. We can triumph in Christ, folks, through every circumstance rather than being destroyed with despair, because our God is the God of all comfort. What source of comfort will you run to this week? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the comfort from Your Word, for the comforting presence of Your indwelling Holy Spirit, for the comfort of knowing we are in Your family because the blood of Jesus Christ was shed to wash away our sins, and now we serve a living Savior who never leaves us nor forsakes us. Lord, help us to forsake as comforts the failures, the things that have never brought us lasting comfort. Help us to see through their deceitfulness in order that we might see Your fullness and know the lasting, complete, ever-abiding comfort that You give. I pray this in Jesus' name.